I'm really sorry, folks.
The presentation should be running. I just installed my new operating system, Windows 95.
Try typing sysedit.exe.
Thank you.
Check your autoexec.
No, look at your config.sys.
Thank you.
If you're looking for a computer that's easy to use, there's still only one way to go.
Get a Macintosh.
Hello, and welcome to the Callcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, and I'm joined by the regal, the dapper, Mr. Leander Caney. Hey, Leander.
Hey, Erfan.
I've also got the rugged, though gentle, Buster Caney. Hey, Buster.
Hello.
So smooth. And the only man I've ever met who refused the memory wipe after his thorough alien probing. Yes. Which I find odd, but the Alex Excelsior.
Why did you dream that one up?
What?
Well, why would I do that when it was by the Russian strippers?
Touche, Mr. Heath. Touche. Good to have all you guys with us yet again. Lots of great stuff to talk about this week. But before we jump into all the great Apple stories, let's just give a thanks to our sponsors, FreshBooks, the simple online accounting solution built for small business owners just like you, just like me, who want to skip the headache at tax time. For a limited time, you can try FreshBooks free for 60 days. To get started, visit getfreshbooks.com. And enter CultCast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Por favor. That's Spanish for please. And I also want to thank Lynda.com for sponsoring this episode with over 2,000 high-quality video courses taught by Lynda-leading experts. I should start saying that. Industry-leading experts. Lynda.com will help you master virtually any application. Learn all you want for free for 7 days with a free trial. Head on over to lynda.com/cultcast. Two excellent sponsors. And a quick announcement, if you would, guys. I think it's pretty cool that we are now partnering with SoundCloud. So for those of you who like music, you like talk radio, anything audio, really, SoundCloud is a really great platform to absorb all kinds of great stuff like that. Head on over to soundcloud.com/cultcast. Our entire CultCast catalog is there. And the cool thing is if you have a SoundCloud account, you can actually comment in line during the episode. So if you hear something that we say that's funny or you're like, that's really stupid, most likely that second part, you can leave a comment and it will show up in line in the actual player that other people can see. Really cool technology, and I'm really thrilled to be working with SoundCloud. And as I said, you can go and see our entire 117 episode list there. So soundcloud.com/cultcast. Guys, let's start with the big news of the week, shall we? That would be iOS 7.1, of course, which was just released. Lots of great updates. And does anyone want to start? Tell us some of the cool stuff that they liked, so on and so forth.
Buster's got all the details.
Buster, give us the details. Which, by the way, Buster published a post on Cult-O-Mac highlighting all the like visual upgrades, right, Buster?
Gift City, right?
Dude, it was Gift City. Yeah, for sure. Great, great post. It really illustrates like what's changed, and there's a lot of visual changes in this.
Yeah, a lot of like subtle UI tweaks to like the phone app and the boot screen or the power down screen. The music app, Control Center got a couple tweaks. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was like bug fixes, though. If they fix the random reboot bug, that would be like the hugest feature of it.
Did you say if or they did?
If. I mean, they said they do, but
yeah, I heard that too, but I'm wondering if it actually did fix the problem.
Uh-huh.
Because didn't they try to fix this in January with an update, but it didn't really fix it for everybody?
Yeah, I don't know. I know my phone still reboots like every day. It hasn't since I've updated iOS 7.1, but it was like once a week for a while there, so hopefully it's gone.
Yeah, my mom's iPad was twerking out, man. It was like rebooting 3 or 4 times a day.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was partly a hardware problem, too, because they kept saying it was a software problem and having her reinstall iOS. But eventually, they just replaced it, and the problem kind of went away. So maybe it wasn't that.
Kind of went away?
Yeah, I mean, I it was still it happening. Well, it's still happening via the software, so, but it definitely decreased in frequency because it was happening so often that things.
Well, that's
was
nuts. I've
usable.
Never had that once.
You never had your reboot?
No.
Oh, I swear, my girlfriend's, it's like, yeah, every couple of hours.
Yeah. That's crazy. Really?
Wow. It's weird that it's happening so frequently for some people, and then for me, it's only happened maybe a handful of times.
Yeah.
But, what were you going to say?
We should do a poll about that on the site because, sort of see what people say.
You're like, if it actually fixed their problem?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. So lots of bug fixes under the hood. I kind of feel like 7.1 is really what 7.0 should have been like when they released it. It should have been this. It should have had this amount of polish.
Yeah.
And there are some significant UI tweaks. Like when you they have new icons to slide to unlock your phone when you have a call.
Yeah.
It's nice looking.
It's very nice looking, isn't it?
Yeah, it really looks good.
And I don't know if you guys noticed, but now when you slide up for control panel, it kind of it bounces a little bit.
Hmm.
Oh, you didn't notice that?
Yeah,
check it out for those of you listening. Let me ask you guys this. Reportedly, Touch ID is quicker and more accurate. I have an iPhone 5, so I can't check that. Have you guys noticed anything?
Yeah, mine does seem to be a little bit better.
It does. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still on 7.0.6.
Because you've jailbroken?
Is it because you jailbroke?
Yeah. I'm stuck. I wasn't jailbroken for weeks, and I jailbroke 2 days before they released it.
Oh, I was going to just for the hotspot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm testing a bunch of stuff, though, so it's okay.
I've had several people on Twitter report that the new update works a lot snappier on their iPhone 4s. Mm-hmm. So I immediately replied, why do you have an iPhone 4?
Yeah, plebes.
I've also noticed on my iPhone 5, opening and closing apps and folders way snappier now. It used to be
like the animations are way sped up.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it feels like they're like almost twice as fast. I don't know if that's actually true. But because, you know, when you'd open an app before, you had to wait so long before you could actually do anything with it because it was still loading. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, keyboard. The shift and delete keys are easier to see. Let's see here. Oh, you might notice in Notification Center, it's easier to clear out your notifications. I feel like they made a lot of updates like that that make it really easy for novices to understand how the phone works.
They still have that ridiculous missed tab in Notification Center that serves no purpose. Yeah. Oh, wait, I have a jailbreak tweak that removes that.
Yeah, you're still in iOS 6 too. Yeah. I actually have never even looked at the missed tab.
It's because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't really know
from a design perspective. I don't understand why it's there.
So wait, is the missed tab stuff?
It's
that you
all
that showed up, but you didn't see.
No, it's today when you swipe down for Notification Center, it's today all and missed. Except all and missed are. They're not technically the same thing, but nobody uses. Like, why would I use missed when I could just look at everything?
Like, exactly.
If my notification is in Notification Center, it means I haven't looked at it yet. So they're all going to be missed.
That's a good point. Not to mention in the missed tab, you can't clear them out.
Right.
You just have to look at them. I don't think I've ever even clicked on that tab.
I just never use Notification Center, but.
You don't? I use it for Twitter all the time.
Wow.
And then for deliveries. The app that should have won the Faves and Raves segment. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let me see. What else do we got? Oh, you can hold Siri or you can hold the home button to talk to Siri now. So if you hold it down and start speaking, Siri will listen to you. And then when you let go of the home button, it will stop. So I guess this was a handy feature for those who like to dictate long messages to Siri.
Mm-hmm.
I never even use Siri, so... not going to affect me.
I think that's pretty helpful. I've had that issue before where Siri will like cut me off or something.
What are you trying to dictate to Siri that you're talking to her for so long?
It's not. It's like if there's other sounds like around you, you know?
It's like you're trying to have, are you trying to redo her?
I do dictate erotica.
So. Oh, you do? For your, I feel silly now. For your erotic short stories. That you dictate to Siri and have her type them out on your iPhone?
I'm not going
to
elaborate.
Is there anything big that we're missing? I think that kind of handles all the bigger stuff. There were some music app changes that make it easier to like repeat songs.
Yeah. They made iBeacon smarter.
Oh, how so, Alex?
Like in the past, like an app had to be running in the background for it to be able to talk to an iBeacon. Mm-hmm. But now now your phone will listen for iBeacons even when apps are closed.
Mm-hmm. And then it'll pull up the
app. Yeah, developers had to do like a tricky, like had to find a tricky way to have the user keep the app open. So basically, like if the app was about to close on its own, like send a notification like, hey, are you sure you want to close so-and-so? Mm-hmm. If you're using it for iBeacon, but now you don't need to worry about that.
Now, would you please just explain what iBeacon is for those listening who are like, what the heck is he even talking about?
Oh, yeah. It's a new technology in iOS 7 that a lot of retailers are using, and MLB is using it in the NFL. There are these little nodes that you can put and they work over Bluetooth to transmit data to an iOS device based on how close it is to it. So it's basically just like hyper aware location sensing. So you could walk through a store and like when you pass a display for a pair of shoes, more information about those shoes could be shown on your phone, you know. You could like click, accept
it. Kind of reminds me of Minority Report.
Yeah.
When he's walking through the mall and it's like, what is that guy's name? And all the stores keep saying his name when he walks by.
Uh-huh.
So that's basically what you're thinking.
Basically that, but on your phone.
You know precisely what size.
Just a spam machine. Hey, Airfon, come buy these shoes.
We've searched the cookies in Safari and know you're really into G-strings. So we have G-strings on sale.
I'm just waiting for it to be able to talk to me like her.
That would be very nice. Okay, I think is that everything, guys? Did I miss anything?
Yeah, about it.
Pretty much all the significant stuff. Again, I really like it. From everything I've read, everyone's really liking 7.1 so far. And the adoption rate has cruised up really fast. It always surprises me how fast people install these things because you read about Android phones when updates come out. And even like a year after the updates come out, only a fraction of people are actually using it.
Yeah,
and,
right.
I thought it was pretty crazy, too, that Apple put this on their homepage so that people could see that it was available. And it's so easy to update. I mean, they're like, just press this button, press that button, and then boom, you're updating in no time.
Yeah, they make it really easy. Have you noticed that people are still complaining about iOS 7? I find that really, really kind of crazy.
I know. It's like, let it go, would you? Just let it go.
They're not going to bring the old stuff back or anything.
I know.
But there's always complaints, you know, whenever there's any change. But usually it quiets down and people usually sort of get over it. And then, funny enough, often you find the people that complain the loudest usually become the biggest fans over time once they get used to it.
Not the people in my Twitter feed.
Yeah, no, I know. But
there's one person in particular who shan't be named.
Are you talking about Stever?
Yeah, I am. Michael Stever. If he's listening, oh my gosh. He complains about iOS nonstop, all the time, even this far after. I'm like, Stever, stop it. I hope he listens to this. I love you, Stever, but you need to stuff it.
Yeah.
Get on board with iOS 7. Gosh.
Some people need their Corinthian leather, man.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at some comments on some site the other day, you know, like something about Apple, I don't know, the future of Apple, whatever, you know, and looking at the comments, there was hundreds of comments, and somehow it devolved into this, like, you know, iOS 7 is the most obvious sign that Apple is doomed.
And people clearly.
Yeah, I know, and they were really, people were really, really strident about it. They were like, you know, it's right there in front of your face. Just look at iOS 7. Look at all the mistakes they're making, you know. There's clearly no this, no that. Tim Cook's not in command. Johnny Ive's an idiot, blah, blah, blah. It was, you know, dozens and dozens of comments. I was really surprised. It was odd.
I like iOS 7.
You could say that iOS 7 is a haunted empire.
Oh, good one. Hey, before we move on, we're going to be talking about some iPhone rumors, some iPhone 6 rumors, that is.
Juicy. And
yeah, we got a bunch of other fun stories, too. But I want to give a thanks to our sponsor, FreshBooks. You know what sucks? Tax time. And if you're using FreshBooks, it makes it a lot easier because FreshBooks is the online accounting solution for small businesses everywhere. And it makes hunting for receipts, digging through invoices, going through all your records one by one, puts all that stuff in the past. Because with FreshBooks, you can track all your invoices easily and send invoices and take payments easily online, all that great stuff. So it makes collecting money easy. But it also makes tracking your expenses really easy, especially because they have a fantastic iOS app that I use all the time, which you could basically use to command your business. It's like a mobile command center. And you could take pictures of your receipts, and that way, you know, when you enter them in, you have proof right there that you actually did spend the money that you're talking about. And then when you're ready, you just send all that stuff to your accountant, and he processes everything, and boom, you're ready to go. We all use FreshBooks. I use it. Alex uses it. Leander uses it. Leander, I'm sure it saves you a ton of time, huh?
Yeah, I use it all the time for invoicing and for getting invoices.
Yeah, and of course, it also has the tracking your expenses features that I mentioned. So if you want to try it out, if you have a small business, maybe you're a photographer, maybe you're a web designer, head on over to getfreshbooks.com. And when you're signing up in the How Did You Hear About Us section, make sure you put in CultCast. That lets them know that you heard about them through our show, which helps us out. And for a limited time, you can sign up for a free 60-day trial. You can use the entire service free for 60 days. And then make your own decision. If you like it, you can continue. And if you don't like it, you can move on. But I think you're really going to love it. We all do. And I pay for it every single month. That's how much I enjoy it. And it really saves me a ton of time. So getfreshbooks.com. Want to thank them for sponsoring this episode. Guys, let's talk about iPhone 6, shall we? Because there's been some ongoing rumors. This one from Mac Otakara. And they're talking about iPhone screen sizes, and they actually came out with some more details that have kind of been floating out there but seem to kind of confirm or solidify the rumors, and that is that Apple has settled upon a 4.7 and 5.7 screen size for the next iPhone. And Alex, feel free to jump in here at any point if you want to add anything, because I know you wrote the piece on Cult Mac. The design is supposed to be similar to the iPhone 5C, which at first super bummed me out because I thought that was going to mean that it was going to be made of plastic. But apparently not. It's supposed to look like the iPhone 5C, so it has like the rounded edges and the same kind of switch design. But it's going to be made out of aluminum, but like the 7th generation iPod Nano, which I guess it's taking some of its inspiration from, it's going to be available in multiple colors and 7 millimeters thick. Is that right, Alex?
Yeah, 7 millimeter, which basically around the iPad Air size in terms of thickness.
How does that compare to the 5S right now?
That's a good question.
Twice the size?
No.
7 mil sounds pretty big.
Doesn't sound that big to me. I don't know how relative it is, but
well, you're not British.
Part of the other rumor was that, or part of the rumor was also that it was potentially going to have a camera that kind of swooped out on the back, which I find to be wacky. I don't think they're going to do that.
Well, the iPod does that, but the newest iPod.
Just like having the lens pop out a little
bit? Yeah.
Just like it's not going to be flush with the back casing, that's all, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, what's the reason for that? Why would they do that?
Probably just to make it thinner.
Apparently, that's exactly what happened during the iPad Air. They were going to make the iPad Air 7 millimeters, but they couldn't do it with the camera. The camera was going to protrude, so they made it 7.5. And the 5S I just looked up is 7.6 millimeters, so it's not much of a difference at all.
It's actually thinner than the 5S then?
Yeah, it would be thinner by a millimeter.
Oh, wow, because the 5S is crazy thin.
Yeah, and
is the 5S thinner? I should know this. I'm sorry. But is the 5S thinner than the 5?
It's always thinner. Yeah.
I don't know. Remember the iPad 3? It's thicker.
That's true.
I think it's about the same.
Okay.
I think it's pretty much the same as the iPhone 5. But I don't know. This is I wouldn't take anything that Makotakara reports as
you mean Otakara.
Well, this is usually kind of like a lot of wishful thinking, right?
Well, it's not. I wouldn't say it's wishful thinking. I think they definitely have sources on it, but it's all in the supply chain. So it's like they don't have a contextual like awareness of everything that's really going on. All they have is like bits and pieces from the supply chain. So this could be end up being iPod Touch stuff. They're saying two larger screens, but we don't know if those are both iPhones. I mean, assumedly it's going to be, you know, like the replacement for the 5S and the 5C, you know, the 6S and the 6C or whatever. But I do think the iPod Nano, the aluminum iPod Nano design kind of makes sense in terms of like, if they are going to make the 5S have more, if they are going to give the 5S more colors, but they want to keep that metallic build, then they would use the iPod Nano's build, which is already like that. It's metallic and has a lot of colors. So,
and yeah, how big is 5.7 inches compared to, you know, some of the new Android phones out there?
It's pretty close.
It's pretty huge.
Yeah. I saw a, I don't know if it was a Nokia. I forget what the model was, but it was 6 inches and this thing was giant. I mean, you could barely fit it in your pocket. So I kind of feel like 5.7, I mean, would obviously be pretty close to that.
The Galaxy Note. Samsung's Galaxy Note is 5.7. So if that gives you an idea, if you've seen,
that's a phablet, right? That's officially a phablet. Phone.
If they release 4.7 and 5.7, which one would you guys go for?
I would say Apple's doomed.
You're joking. You're like, seriously? Because people will say that. I mean, no matter what they do, they're gonna be like, "Oh, dude, now they're copying Samsung."
Well, Samsung just released a gold phone with a fingerprint sensor, so.
Yeah, I think that's the least of their worries, really, is like people saying that. You know, I would definitely go for the 5.7. I like that big screen size. In fact, I hate to say it, but I've got, you know, envy.
Really? You got size envy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Me too, a little bit. I would definitely love to have something bigger than 5 inches. You know, I'm not even embarrassed to say that. I'm just going to put that out there.
We're so mature. I'm sure the listeners aren't getting sick of these jokes at all.
I doubt it.
Well, that's why they tune in.
Yeah. I'm confident that's at least 90% of the reason. I mean, I'm talking about the phone, of course, Alex. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what you're talking about now. But,
yeah, I do think 5.7 inches is pretty huge.
That's way huge, isn't it?
It's also huge for a phone.
Well, exactly, because the new Galaxies, which are really pretty big, are only 5.1, right? I just looked it up.
Yeah. So, you know, just to kind of put it in perspective, since you were talking about reputations, Alex, I guess Takata was correct when they predicted the dual LED flash for the iPhone 5S and also for the designs for the fifth generation iPod and the seventh generation iPod Nano. So apparently they do have some kind of credibility. But as you said, I mean, if it's supply chain sources, you never really know. I mean, Apple can change things last minute. So just good to put that out there.
Well, they're gonna start making them soon, right? But to get enough stockpile for the launch in the fall.
Yeah, they've got to be, right? Because we're getting pretty close to summer here, so you would imagine they're already starting to ramp up.
Or they could just be impossible to get for the first couple months, like last year.
Yeah, right.
For the 5S.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the 5S. I mean, I can see why they would be conservative in their estimates on how many people would buy that, because it's an updated 5, right? I'm sure those probably never sell as well as the brand new model. And if they release a 5.7 model, that thing is going to sell. Don't you guys think that thing's going to sell like crazy?
Right, totally.
Everyone's going to want one of those.
Yeah. I think it's going to kill.
Yeah, I think it's going to do really well. So hopefully
it's really like the iPod Mini. It'll be like the iPad Mini, won't it? It'll be like the iPad Mini. It'll be like I'm a monster here.
I don't remember how popular that was. Was that hard to get for a while?
Yeah, that was like two-thirds of all the iPad sales were minis.
Wow. For the new Retina one?
I don't know about the new Retina one, but the original one, I think.
They've sold really well.
What were you saying, Alex?
Oddly enough, I don't understand it, but I've heard a lot of people say that they would want like an iPad Mini with a phone in it. Like all that would be the perfect device for them. I've heard it.
Well, that's not what you're going to get at 5.7 inches.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like maybe this is what that is. It doesn't make sense to me personally, but I've heard people even on like podcasts and in real life say that that's like their perfect device.
Yeah. I mean, I could kind of see that reasoning. If I had something that was a little bit smaller than the Mini, but had the cellular radio in it, I mean, and not have to carry around an iPad as well, that would be really appealing to me, as long as it was big enough to actually read books on, because I don't really like reading on my iPhone screen.
Yeah.
And it had the same color gamut as the iPhone. That was one of my big problems with the Retina Mini, is that the screen, even though it's sharper, the color reproduction isn't as good as the iPad Air. I mean, it's a secondary screen. I mean, it's not as nice as the iPhone. So if they made it the same quality, I would be all over that thing. All over it. All over it. Okay, anything else to mention there? Shall we move on, guys?
Let's move on.
Okay, we got a lot of fun stories. So this one actually, never mind. This one kind of bummed me out. But I think we should still report it. You know, we reported a while ago that the house next door to my favorite man, my favorite human, Tim Cook, was for sale, and apparently it just sold. And I know this is going to bum out our listeners too, because we're going to do a Kickstarter so that you guys can help us buy it, and then we're going to move Cultcast worldwide headquarters into that house, and we were going to buy a plethora of telephoto equipment so we could take pictures of Tim, like brushing
listening
his teeth.
Devices, right?
Listening devices.
Have a doormat that says y'all.
Hey y'all, Cultcast y'all. And now we don't get to do any of that stuff because all of our cheapskate listeners wouldn't help us raise $3 million.
Can't believe it.
All we needed was $3 million, guys.
Yeah,
I mean, if each one of you donated,
a
dollar.
Gosh, the Veronica Mars movie, they funded that. This is way more important than that.
To the tune of what? How much did they raise for that?
A lot. Over. Millions.
Didn't they raise like $2 million?
Yeah. I'm saying the Cultcast Nation could have easily beat that. Easily.
So yeah, I think it sold for $3 million, and I'm bummed. You know, I thought there was a chance that we were going to be able to move this operation to California and really, form a nice, strong relationship with Tim Cook, but that's not going to happen. Oh, well, hey, maybe when they resell it in the future, maybe for $5 or $6 million, we'll have enough listeners then where we can actually lock down Cultcast Studios. Do you know what city that's in? Is that in Cupertino?
Yeah, no, Palo Alto.
Palo Alto. It seems like an appropriate place to move Cultcast.
And what does it say? It's only a condo? It's not even the whole house?
Well, it's like a 4-bedroom condo, yeah. I mean, it has its own 4 walls, I guess, but it's pretty small.
Oh, so it's not even a house?
It's not a single family home. It's a condo.
Yeah.
Well, how are all 4 of us plus Leander's family going to live there?
Oh, we can squeeze.
He's got like 9 kids
somewhere.
Yeah, it wouldn't even work.
Well, they're used to getting jammed into one room. So.
Actually, that's a great point. This will be an upgrade. Hey guys, before we move on, because we're going to talk about a new iPod rival that some are saying is pretty buzzworthy. We're going to be talking about iTunes Radio, a new Microsoft Office, and guess what? I'm so happy we get to talk about Flappy Bird. Yet again, there's some new news around that.
Can flap again.
But before we jump into that stuff, I just want to say one thing that I think is very important that you guys need to hear. I love Lynda.com. I love Lynda.com, and I love it when they sponsor the show because I get to talk about Lynda.com/cultcast. That's Lynda. And of course, that's the place to go if you're trying to learn an application. Maybe you're trying to learn how to program Ruby on Rails, maybe PHP. They have so many great video courses at lynda.com. And I just did an interview with one of their instructors, Garrick Chow, who does all of their Apple courses, teaches all sorts of courses on iOS products, learn how to do music production on your iPad, everything in the Apple ecosystem. I always say that lynda.com has world-class instructors, so it'd be a good opportunity for you guys just kind of get to know one. So let's play that real quick, and we'll be right back, and we'll hop right back into the news. Hey, y'all, it's me, Arifon Elijah, and I'm here with Garrick Chow, instructor for Lynda.com, who teaches a plethora of their Apple courses. Hey, Garrick.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Welcome.
I prefer to think of it as a multitude of courses. Plethora works, too.
I can tell you're a professional. And you've been at Lynda.com for 14 years, you said.
Yep, since 2000.
Since the very beginning, practically.
Almost, yeah.
And now, of course, you teach a lot of, if not most of, their Apple courses, and that includes a lot of music programs like GarageBand and applications like like Sonar. And I noticed that you also teach iOS applications, musical applications.
Yeah, that was actually a series I was really pretty proud of launching. We started with a course called iPad Music Production Inputs, Mics, and MIDI, which I thought was, you know, a necessary sort of foundation course where I showed a whole bunch of different products on, you know, how to get audio into the iPad, which is, you know, a huge piece of the puzzle for a lot of people is, you know, I want to use GarageBand or I want to use, you know, any other recording program, but how do I get my sounds into the iPad without using the built-in microphone, you know?
Right, yes. So, not a good way to do it, by the way.
Exactly, yeah. And so I update that course pretty frequently, too. Anytime something new comes out, I try to add that to that course just to keep it up to date. And from there, I obviously did GarageBand, Amplitube, Aria. I don't know if you've heard of that one. That's probably
that
one of my favorite DAWs, digital audio workstations for the iPad right now.
What does that one do exactly?
It's basically one of the very few full-fledged DAWs for the iPad, meaning it, you can do up to, I think, 24 or 25 simultaneous inputs. You can mix 48 tracks at a time. You can even chain two iPads together to get, 96 tracks or something like that.
Wow.
It's impressive that you can do that much audio engineering on an iPad with a program like that.
It's incredible how much music engineering you can do on any iOS device these days.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's sort of been sort of a very slow wave, but I think a lot of people are catching on. You know, there's still a lot of people who don't know exactly what the iPad's capable of in that area. But I mean, I totally switched to iPad. I play in a band, and anytime we do demos, it's with the iPad because I can just simply plug everything right into it instead of having to, you know, bring my MacBook downstairs into the basement or even move a Mac down there. Everything just goes right into the iPad.
And what is it that you like about teaching at lynda.com?
Oh, you know, the truth of the matter is if you want to know something, you know, you've got Google. You know, you can Google a lot of basic things. The nice thing about lynda.com to me and what makes it worth the value is that everybody who creates a course on our site is vetted. You know, we know these people are industry professionals, you know, experts in their fields. We work with them specifically on developing their courses so that we can, so they present it in the best way that's going to teach the material as best as they can and as best as we can present it. So I think if you really just want to sit down and learn without having to spend a lot of time looking, that's really the advantage of lynda.com.
And of course, giant time saver, right? Because you have somebody who knows how everything works, teaching you best practices and that type of thing. Well, hey, Garrick. I know that you have a ton of courses on lynda.com. We're going to go ahead and put those on our page on lynda.com. So if you go to lynda.com/cultcast, you can find Garrick's courses there and kind of peruse what he teaches. And while you're there, sign up for the free trial. You'll have access to every single video course Lynda offers. You can learn as much as you want free for 7 days. And that includes Garrick Chow's courses as well. So I want to thank lynda.com for sponsoring as usual. I love Lynda. .com. And thanks again, Garrick.
Thanks so much.
And we're back! Welcome back to the Cultcast, everyone. You guys know that I like to flap. What the hell's going on over there?
Sorry, he's flapping it.
He's flapping it right now. Stop flapping it during the show. So...
What? I usually do.
Yeah, I usually do, but I keep.
I've been flapping it this whole time, guys.
No wonder you're so unfocused. So you guys know that I love Flappy Bird, the game that got pulled from the iTunes store after the developer apparently just felt like he was getting too much money and the app was getting too popular. And his name is Dong Nguyen. He's out of Vietnam. And he recently did an
interview. I think it's the other way around. No, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's the right order. Yeah. And he recently did an interview with Rolling Stone. Why didn't we have this guy on the show? Man.
Oh, gosh. If only we were Rolling Stone.
Yeah, no kidding. And had the access that they had. But he basically resummed why he got rid of the app. And it's not stuff that we haven't talked about before. He just felt like he was getting too much attention. And... he was getting a lot of media attention. People were going to like his parents' house and taking pictures and stuff.
Well, no. What I thought was the most interesting is that he was getting like emails and voicemails from like mothers of children saying that it had like broken their family apart.
Oh, really?
like kids were having, like kids were failing classes and
because
like,
they were slapping it too much.
Yeah, like a husband had moved out and like all of these things that are ridiculous.
No way.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Like, I read
Come
that
on,
too.
Families
yeah.
did not break up over Flappy Bird.
Dude, when you flap it.
Yeah. I mean, too much of a good thing. Yeah, you got to be careful about that. And I guess he had a addiction to Counter-Strike, which is like a Call of Duty type game, preceded Call of Duty. So he was really sensitive to the fact that these people were addicted to this game because he felt like he had been addicted to Counter-Strike. So that's why he pulled it. But of course, the big news is, and if this happens, I'm going to be not surprised whatsoever that he's considering actually bringing it back to the Apple Store.
Oh,
it's too huge to leave out of the Apple Store. I mean, the guy is like a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, he needs to make more money off of it, I think.
Oh, he's going to. You know, he's going to buy his Mini Cooper and want to buy another one.
Isn't there like a there's so many clones out there right now. In fact, I was reading at one point, one third of all the new iOS games that were being submitted were Flappy Bird clones.
Yeah.
Inspired.
I'm pretty sure we've written about all of them, actually.
Yeah.
And reviewed half of them. God.
But isn't there one called like Flappy Drizzy right now or something that's like...
Yeah, dude. No, dude. There's one in the chart, in the top of the charts right now, that's Justin Bieber's head.
Which is a copy of a copy of a copy. Because the one that was like Flappy Drizzy or... It was like some rapper's head.
Yeah, with gold Drake.
It was Drake.
Of course it's Drake.
Sorry, I'm not a big Drake fan, so I wouldn't even know what he looked like if I saw his face in that game. So now it's been replaced by Justin Bieber. That's sad. And actually, one of the reasons I don't ever bring them up, the clones anyway, is because I feel like you're giving attention to these people and people go and download it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I try not to even talk about it. So Flappy Bird might be coming back for all you flap addicts that, you know, miss the flapping. You may get to flap again. So we'll see what happens with that.
Again.
For those of you who are Office fans, Microsoft Office fans, you know who you are.
Huge Office fans.
I know Buster's a giant Office
I'm all
fan.
Over that ribbon.
Apparently, Microsoft has said that they're going to be releasing a new version of Office sometime in the future. The last half of 2014.
What?
It's just huge.
Yeah, this I know. We should have actually leaded with this story, don't you guys think? I feel like a major...
I've been waiting for a new Office for like 10 years, man.
Well, you know, there's one that came out like three years ago, right?
Three. Yeah.
So you could have just installed that one.
They all work the same, so.
Yeah, it really does need a fresh coat of paint at the very least. It's kind of old. But Alex, from your piece, because you wrote this, I was surprised to hear that Microsoft closed their Mac business unit.
Yeah.
Are there any other details you know besides that? That seems kind of surprising because Office for Mac was a really popular software program.
Yeah, but I mean, the last major release for it was in 2011. And I mean, with all the stuff that's been going on within Microsoft lately, I doubt that they're focusing a lot on Mac development. They can barely keep their own OSs afloat. Well,
yeah, I know about that. They used to be really profitable, and it was like one of their biggest divisions.
Yeah.
And from what I can remember, it used to be pretty profitable. But I think they're getting their lunch eaten, like, you know, left and right. And I think probably the most important thing is like iOS, isn't it? iOS support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Will this new Office will it work on iOS?
Well, their Office for iPad is supposed to be coming out this year as well, which I guess better late than never.
For like 2 years.
Yeah, it's literally been rumored for 2 or 3 years, but apparently it's actually going to happen.
Well, so there must be some business then if they're going to come out with a new version for the Mac. I mean, there must be, you know, there's going to be a business reason for that.
I mean, hey, look, it's not a sexy product, obviously, right? But if you need a serious business application and Pages isn't going to cut it for you, then Word's the one you need.
What can Word do now that Pages can't? Pages can do cloud-based multi-person editing of a document, which was for a long time the biggest reason that businesses wanted Word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of anything that Pages can't do better.
Oh, I think there's a lot of features in Microsoft Office that are baked in that work with enterprise level software that Pages just can't touch. I mean, if you're in a mid-sized business, maybe a small business, then you could probably function on Pages. I mean, hell, you could even use just Google Drive or something, right? And that would be good enough for you.
Yeah.
But like Excel for like a lot of people is huge.
There
like
is no matching like, Excel. Yeah. Yeah, numbers is nowhere some close.
Incredible capabilities. It's a really boring app, but like for financiers and stuff like that.
Financiers.
Yes, that one.
Those guys with the really skinny mustaches. Yeah. They smoke the really
they
long
just
cigarettes.
Love that Excel stuff.
Man. Yeah, I use Excel all the time. I mean, that was part of my major in college. Excel. Is just using Excel to manage your business and, you know, doing formulas and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a really powerful application. So anyway, I don't want to talk too much about it because, again, we're talking about Microsoft Office. We've probably already lost about 30% of the people listening. So, but just know if you're excited about that, that's cool. You might get an update at the end of this year. Let's talk about iTunes Radio, shall we, Buster? Because apparently it's the third most popular music streaming app already.
After only like 6 months?
Yes, it's number, I guess, being used by more than 20 million users, holds 8% of the U.S. market share, and has knocked off Spotify as the third most popular streaming app.
Yeah, I was surprised Spotify was more popular than iHeartRadio.
You were surprised that Spotify was more popular than iHeartRadio, or vice versa?
The iHeartRadio is more popular.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I use Spotify every day. And
so what are the charts? What's the most popular?
Pandora has like 70 million users. Yeah, like 30% of the market. And then iHeartRadio with 9%. And then iTunes with 8%. Or iTunes Radio. And then it's supposed to pass iHeartRadio by the end of the year.
That's really surprising to hear because I never use iTunes Radio and I think it's not as good. It probably will be eventually, but it's not now better than Spotify. And Spotify has a really good iOS app. Their desktop app is pretty good. But, of course, iTunes Radio is baked into everything, right? So people don't have to download anything.
Yeah, they were, I think, 9 to 5 Mac this morning said Apple's thinking about pushing it out as, like, a separate app to get even more people using it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never really use iTunes Radio that often, personally.
Does that make sense? They pushing into a separate app would make more people use it?
I don't feel like it would, personally.
I feel like it would.
I feel like it would, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the reason it's taken off is because everyone's got iTunes,
it's
right?
Like, it's baked right into like the music app of the iPhone.
Yeah.
I guess I never use the music app on iPhone anymore. I only ever use Pandora, and I only ever use Spotify. So I don't know why, but I would prefer to not open up the music app just because there's so much crap in there that I never use.
Yeah, I think that's why they want to break iTunes Radio off is because it's gotten so cluttered.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I used iTunes Radio a little bit when it first came out, but I don't know. Apparently you're not supposed to get ads if you have an iTunes Match subscription, which I do. Mm-hmm. But even though I entered that in, I still got ads. So that made me not want to use it because I was like, well, screw this if I'm not getting what I paid for.
Yeah.
That's the main reason I didn't use it. But also, yeah, Spotify already does all that plus more.
And Spotify, their algorithms are really good. I know that's a really nerdy thing to say, but it's really
true. I actually think Pandora's is better. I don't use Pandora anymore.
Oh, sorry. I was actually talking about Pandora. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Spotify's radio features anywhere near as good as Pandora's.
Neither
and apparently Ardio just killed its recommendation service because Spotify bought the engine that was powering all of the other.
Oh, is that why Ardio recommendations suck now?
Yeah.
Oh, so they were renting out their algorithm.
Well, they all shared from this company that provided this algorithm engine, and Spotify bought them.
Oh, good move, Spotify, because their radio feature is actually not bad. It's not as good as Pandora. But I found that it's way better for discovery. Like, I always end up having my Pandora stations end up with a kind of similar music. I don't know how this happens, just by training, I guess. They all end up playing me the same artists, and Spotify plays me stuff I've never heard before quite often.
Yeah.
That seems like a huge, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good because I've discovered all sorts of great music in that way. You know, you hear an artist that you never heard before, and you're like, whoa, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, on Spotify, you can go listen to the whole album as opposed to Pandora, where you have to listen to it via a station. You may never hear that artist again.
Leander, did you ever try out Beats Music with the family with that AT&T offer they have?
I'm paying for it, but I keep forgetting to sort of open it up and use it every time I want to hear something. If I want to hear something specific, I go to Spotify. mm-hmm. you know, and look it up. And I haven't got into the habit. I just, you know, I'm just so used to doing that.
Yeah,
that,
that's a habit thing.
And then, you know, at home, you know, I can't wait to mention this. I use my fantastic Sonos system.
You don't say. How's that system working out for you? You like
it's
it?
It's absolutely awesome. And it's got, it's actually Beats is on that. But yeah, you know, I just haven't got, you know, it's not on my radar yet. I guess I'm, you know, I got to train myself to go use it. And it's supposed to be good for discovery. And I tried a couple of those, like, you know, those, they have these sort of curated playlists. And in fact, I was going through all these these rap ones the other day, and
rap,
you know, they were either
like hip hop.
Yeah. What?
The, like, I'm sorry, like rap stations.
Rap, yeah.
Yeah, oh, cool.
And you know, they're kind of like they're just sort of curated playlists, which I didn't really find that interesting. And the ones that I looked at, they were like either really obvious, and I already knew all the tracks anyway, or they you know they. They were missing. There was a whole bunch of missing stuff. You know, it was like a, you know, I couldn't, I was looking for like introductions to like, I don't know, the Wu-Tang Clan. And I think that was missing. Because I don't really know those, you know, that group so much. And I wanted to get a selection of like their best tunes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I didn't, I had no idea you were a rap connoisseur.
Later. Oh man, he's major hip hop.
I had no idea.
Major hip hop, yes.
Well, I'm not major hip hop because there's a whole bunch of missing, you know, like my education is missing in huge ways.
But you really like hip hop music.
Yeah,
We'll fill you in during Macworld. We'll all walk around with a beatbox, jam box on our shoulder when we're walking around the floor.
Cool, all right.
Hey, yeah. Guys, I want to wrap up with this wacky iPod rival story. But before we do that, I just want to quickly mention we are having a Cultcast Live party event, spectacular. And if you haven't heard me talk about it before, and you're going to be in San Francisco, I believe it's March 27th, March 28th. We would love to see you there. It's going to be at the Box SF in San Francisco at 8 p.m. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be giving away prizes. We're just going to have a hoot and a holler, a good time. Oh, excuse me. March 27th at 8 p.m., not March 28th. And actually, we just made a new batch of tickets available because our first batch actually sold out entirely. By the way, they're free, so we gave out all of them. And it's gonna have an open bar. We did make another batch available. So if you try to sign up and you couldn't, head back on over, and you'll see a new set of tickets that we made available. And I want to thank Mac Updates and Discade 6 for sponsoring this event. Go check out digidna.net and deals.macupdate.com. By the way, lots of great software in both the sites, and they're making this event possible. It's gonna be a ton of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. That's cultcast.eventbrite.com. You know, you might think that I'm about to read you a headline from 1995, but or I should say 2005, but I'm not. Neil Young hopes his iPod rival will rock the free world. I want to read you this first sentence that was on Cult-O-Mac because I thought it was so funny. That Luke Dormel, is that how you say his last name? Dormel? Dormiel?
Doorbell?
Doorbell. Luke Doorbell. I'm sure he's going to love that we said that. Luke Doorbell wrote. Keeping with the times, musician Neil Young is set to launch a storming attack on Apple's iPod with his forthcoming Pono player. And you guys, this picture of this player, it's like a triangle. It's like a 3D triangle. And Neil Young apparently thinks that we all need a new music playing device. And this one is going to come with the Pono Music Store, where you can buy stuff. He's debuting it at South by Southwest, which is going on right now. And it's going to hit Kickstarter eventually with a price tag of $399. It's going to come with 128 gigabytes of storage. Now, you're scratching your head. You're saying, why would anyone do this? So I guess here's the thing. It's going to be a niche product. And it's going to be aimed at high-fidelity audio listeners, people who want to listen to, you know, music in its natural state. And I guess, I don't know what format they're going to be selling music in, but isn't this wacky? I mean, we're in freaking 2014, and he's releasing an iPod competitor. Do you guys think that audiophiles or the general population is going to respond well to this?
I mean, he might sell like
10 of them. Let's be honest. This is not going to be huge at all.
I kind of feel like the same way as I did when Will.i.am released his camera accessory for the iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
We were all kind of like,
awesome. What? $500 attachment?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the iPod Classic still has 160 gigs of storage and costs $249. Isn't this going to be $399 with 128 gigs? That's more expensive than the iPod Classic and has less features and looks like a stupid triangle.
That's actually the perfect description for it.
How is that
going to
feel good in your pocket?
It is a very odd shape. Oh, I guess it's because you're supposed to be able to sit it on a table and have it and have the screen and like the volume controls face your face.
Oh, okay.
What kind of outputs does it have? Please don't tell me it has a headphone jack.
It does have a headphone jack.
Well, how could that be high def?
Maybe it has a built-in. We obviously don't have a ton of information about this yet because they just
isn't it launching on Kickstarter?
It's going to be launching on Kickstarter. I just wonder who talked Neil Young into this. You know what I mean, like, who talked him into this product? This is such a wacky thing to try to do at this point in the game.
Yeah, and I think that it's based on this encoding standard, right? That he helped develop.
Okay, maybe this is the piece we're missing. Is that true?
I remember reading an interview with him last year sometime, and I think he'd been working on this kind of lossless recording format, digital recording format, which I guess is called Pono. I don't know. Let me look it up real quick.
It's the highest. It's the highest audio fidelity that's out there, that's available. Oh, that is. And apparently, he was interviewed by All Things D a couple years ago, and he had approached Steve Jobs about it. And Steve Jobs had said that Apple was actually working on something that did the same thing, but that not much ended. Like they had tried it, and it ended up not working out. Mm-hmm. So,
well, how's it different from Apple lossless format? And isn't CD music pretty, high fidelity? I mean, isn't it almost?
I just don't think there's enough people that care about squeaking out like the absolute best quality from their music to go and buy like a one device. I think it's kind of a niche product, personally.
Very, very niche. There's a guy who I see on my bus all the time who every day has his Sennheiser like headphones on, like the really nice, expensive ones. He wears them every single day. But for the most part, I mean, I like high fidelity music too, but people, I think, like convenience more than anything else, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like they'll just put their Apple headphones on and walk around with those because it's good enough. Like if it gets you 70% of the way there, it's like, not to mention you already have an iPhone, you already have an Android phone, a Windows phone that plays music. Like to spend an extra $400 on this seems kind of wacky.
Right.
Yeah. The whole idea that, you know, the iPhone came because people were carrying two devices, their iPod and a phone, and it was obvious the two were going to go together. I mean, you know, it's a huge step backwards,
right,
pre-2007. Yeah. And plus, you know, like you say, I don't think, you know, I think the whole audiophile thing, I think to be honestly, truly, you know, people, they don't really hear the difference. I think they're convinced they hear a difference.
I know I don't. Like when we were at that really nice headphone booth at CES Airphone, where we had like those $500 headphones in, I can't tell the difference between like $200 headphones and $600 headphones or anything like that. So maybe other people can, but I think you have to just have like an ear for those little intros.
Yeah, I think it gets to a point where only like the audiophiles will be able to tell the difference, or like musicians, or once you hit like over $200 for the headphones, it all starts sounding pretty good.
Exactly, and if you're an audiophile, why are you going to buy a $300 player?
$400
player.
That looks like it was designed by a 10-year-old. You know what it looks like? You know what it reminds me of? Is, you know, like those kid toys where you take the blocks and you shove them through the shapes in the wood?
Yeah, that's
exactly. It looks like the triangle.
Comes with a little plastic hammer.
It looks like the same the same shape, and it looks like Google colors. It's like bright blue, bright yellow. And if you're an audiophile, a lot of those guys have really refined taste. Like they want something that looks like the iPod, but maybe has the sound fidelity of this thing if it ends up sounding good. Anyway, I know we're sitting here beating a dead horse, but this thing I just thought was so funny. and Luke Doorbell's first line about keeping up with the times. I mean, when I saw that was Neil Young, it just occurred to me, yes, it is indeed possible to do too many drugs. Nice. This is what the end result is, folks. Don't do drugs. That's the lesson here.
Jimmy Fallon's Neil Young impersonation is so good.
It is good. He's a national treasure, Alex.
Yeah.
I think that's all the cult cast we have for this week, guys. Let's wrap her up, shall we?
Oh, beautiful.
Excellent. I know that makes you guys sad, but we'll be back next week. Hey, you know, if you want to come hang out with us on Twitter, we would love that. We would love to talk to you there. Alex can tell you about his alien probe experience. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, Leander's L. Caney, Alex is Alex E. Heath, Buster's B-S-T-3-R. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. We hope to see you guys in San Francisco on March 27th. Head on over to cultcast.eventbrite.com. Get your tickets. And we'll see you guys next time. I hope you come
back. Maybe.
I really hope you'll come back. And listen some more.
Please come back.
Please come back. And we're clear.
Hello.
Zeuster Heine.
Hey, man.
On high.
What's going on?
Just thinking about you in a toga.
I look really good in a toga, especially one nip exposed.
I do feel like that is the best way to wear a toga.
Uh-huh.
Just one areola hanging out. But only slightly.
It matters how big your areolas are, really, though.
Yeah, the bigger the better, I always say. You want them to be like 3 or 4 inches across, like El Caney's.
Oh. Just saucer-sized nips.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey. We were just talking about you and your areolas.
Awesome. Hey, thanks.
I think... there he is. Alex, what's up?
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. I just realized I need some water. One second.
Yeah, get some water, dude. You sound like Mr. Ed.
Get some water, dude. I'm <That's so ridiculous.
Oh, you guys, I'm getting pretty excited for our party.
Do you know anything about like where we're staying or anything?
Yeah, I do. So we have two rooms set up. So one room has two beds, one room has one bed.
Oh.
So me and Buster can share one room, and then Alex, you can have the room with two beds.
I like that. That's a really good plan, actually.
Let's see.
I was bringing my Russian stripper friends. So.
I hope two beds is enough.
Yeah.
Let's see here.